Please turn to Proverbs 12, beginning in verse 24. And this week we're returning to the topic of anxiety. Last week we heard a message on anxiety from Gospel of Matthew, and a lot of people said it was helpful to them, and so we're going to return to that because I also didn't have enough time to say some things I wanted to say that I think are important from God's Word. Of course, everything in God's Word is important. It doesn't matter if I think it is or not, but nevertheless, I wonder, are you anxious about anything? Do you feel any worry or fear or anxiety, maybe even just this week? Did you feel anxious at all? What were you anxious about? What are you worried about? You're already right now beginning to apply God's Word in your life. Let's hear from the Word of God. Beginning in 12:24. This is the sword of the Spirit. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Let's ask God for understanding. O triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you have inspired these words through the human author. And so we know that we will not go in the wrong direction when we trust in these words, when we respond to these words the way that we ought. But we cannot do that. We cannot rightly respond without your Spirit, and so send your Spirit and do that secret work within all of our hearts and all of us together as a whole in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. The other night, I was having trouble sleeping, rolling back and forth, turning left, no, it's not working, turning right, still not sleeping. And I know Dorothy's got to get up the next day to go to work early, and I don't want to keep her up, and I feel like I am, and I feel like I just have to move to get to sleep. And so eventually I said, this is just silly. I need to just get up, go out, and read a book or something, and then come back and try again. But I thought, you know, I've lived here in this house long enough, and I know this room well enough. I don't need to turn the light on. That's just going to wake her up as well. So I'll just get up, navigate the room, and just go out in the hallway. So, of course, I do. And, you know, I know the room well. Like, I know the pillows there, right? So I could even do like a spin move around the pillow. You know, like, I'm so good. I don't need any light on this situation. And so you know where this is going, right? So I'm moving. And, you know, you walk a lot faster than you think when you're just walking normally. And that really becomes very apparent when you go for the doorknob, but the doorknob wasn't there, but the wall was there, you know, and you just, thump. Right? And I came to church and some of you asked me about the bruise in my head, and I probably changed the topic, you know. If the light's not on, I don't see what's there. If I don't see what's there, I can't do anything about it. I can't respond to what's there. Obvious, yes. But there's a deeper lesson that we can learn from this. And we can apply it to our anxieties. If we are not aware of our anxiety, of our worry, of our fear, then it's like we're in a dark room and we cannot respond to it appropriately. But once you turn the light on and you're paying attention and you see, yes, I have anxiety. Now you're in a place where you can respond to it appropriately and not slam your head into the wall again. So what we're going to talk today about is the wisdom from God's Word regarding anxiety and how, in brief, the point here is bring your anxieties into the light. bring your anxieties and your worries and your fears into the light. We're going to look at that from three different angles. First of all, bringing it into the capital L light. Second of all, bringing it into the light internally. And third of all, bringing it into the light externally. So the first point is bringing your anxieties into the light, capital L. You might say, well, where is the light, capital L? And what do you mean really by that? Well, you've got light, small L, like what's in these light bulbs here. You've got the light, small L, like what the sun emits. But then you've got the light, big L, in terms of God. And Christ himself, the God-man, is the light of the world. And it's to him that Proverbs ultimately points us to bring all of our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the anxieties, the joys, we bring everything to him. The book of Proverbs begins in the very first chapter with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Fear, anxiety, worry. Rightly directing our fear to the one who holds the keys of life and death and who will indeed be able to address every legitimate anxiety that we have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the entirety of the book of Proverbs orients us to the light, to the living God, to the face of Jesus Christ. And so, if you are serious about dealing with your anxiety and your worry and your fear in life, you begin by bringing it to him. Are you doing that? Obviously, the simple yet profound way of doing that is in prayer. Of course, our whole lives can be conceived as prayer, as depending upon the dependable one. But prayer, in its more narrow sense, is something we need to be bringing our anxieties into. So often prayer becomes, rightly so, a list of people that we're praying for, things we're praying for. But do you bring your own personal life into your prayer? Or do you feel that that's selfish? It's certainly not selfish. Paul, in the letter to the Philippians, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Bring your anxieties into the light. Peter says something very similar in 1 Peter 5:6. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." And so it all begins there. To deal adequately with your anxieties, you first bring it to the light of God's face in prayer. And you do it even though you might leave that prayer still feeling anxious. You might feel like that didn't work. My worry is still here. I still feel fearful. Nevertheless, trust the Word of God. Continue to bring your anxieties into the light of his presence. Now, the second point is where we get directly into this passage. The second point is bring your anxieties into the light internally with regard to yourself. Well, how does that work? How do we see that here? Well, let's begin just by looking at the passage in terms of a little bit more careful Bible study. And so I want you to really walk with me. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, adults, walk with me. Look at your Bibles right now, okay? Verse 24 and 27 are like a frame around a painting, okay? Verse 24. Well, for one thing, you need to remember this is poetry. Hebrew poetry works in parallel lines. When we do poetry, often we think of it rhyming. Now, Hebrew poetry can rhyme sometimes. Hebrew poetry can use acrostics. But the main thing you're always going to see, even when it doesn't rhyme, is a parallel line structure. And those parallel lines do a lot of things. Well, what is the parallel here in verse 24? First, you have the hand of the diligent will rule. Diligence has a good outcome. It leads to ruling. The second line is a contrast. But the heart, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. So slothfulness and its negative outcome. Now jump to 27 and look at the second line. But the diligent man will get precious wealth. The diligent will have a good outcome. Now look at the first line of 27. Whoever is slothful will not roast his gain. That is, the slothful and a bad outcome. Are you seeing how the author is intentionally building a parallel between these two lines, effectively saying the same thing? Diligence has a good outcome. Laziness has a bad outcome, typically. Okay? And now what we're learning is, within this frame, he also wants us to hear something else, something that we need to be diligent about. What is it that we need to be diligent about? 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads him astray. And so we need to be diligent with regard to our anxieties, our worries, and our fears, if we are to address them appropriately and to live the sorts of lives that are not weighed down, but that are freed up. So how does that work? And how does this have anything to do with bringing our anxieties into the light internally? Well, here's how. And it might escape our notice, typically. But did you know that words and language create culture? Just as much as culture influences language, language really influences culture. How so? Because when you use words, what you're doing is you're pointing things out. Right? Hey, did you hear about what happened in the NBA finals? Now people are thinking about basketball, but they're not thinking about soccer. Son, pull up your pants, right? You know, whatever is being spoken of is directing our attention to certain things. And when we're not speaking about certain things, well, we're not paying attention to that necessarily. Well, in the culture that the Bible is trying to develop, God is telling us to pay attention to something. And what is that? Anxiety and its negative effects. But so often we don't pay attention to our anxieties. We simply walk into the wall. We don't note, we don't take the time enough to say, wait, I'm feeling worried. What am I worried about? We don't think we have the time for that. We need to get to work. We need to do things, right? We need to get about the things of life. We don't have time to sit there and think about our emotions. I mean, isn't that kind of feminine anyways, guys? Okay, it's not. It's not, right? God's saying, everybody, pay attention to something. You have anxiety. It's holding you back. You need to pay attention to it. Because if you don't bring it into the light internally, you're going to keep slamming your head against the wall. But if you turn the lights on and you pay attention, now you're in a position where you can do something about it and not walk into the wall. Now this applies to all of your emotions, in fact, not just fear. Noting when I'm sad, what am I sad about? Noting when I'm angry, what am I angry about? Noting when I'm joyful, what am I joyful about? But we need to, if we're serious about overcoming anxiety, then we need to begin taking the time to note when I feel that way and why. And so I would advocate to you a simple practice, but you can try to figure this out for your own life as well. At the end of every day, hey, why don't you just start at the end of every week? You go off by yourself, you sit down, and you say, God, I'm going to review my day right now in your presence. And I'm going to look for anxiety and worry. And I want you to show me where I had it. And then you get to that point where you're like going through your day and you think, oh man, I almost got in an accident when I got so mad at that person who kind of cut me off in 95. And you start just getting really angry, but then you remember, oh wait, I was supposed to be thinking about my anxieties. And then you think, well, maybe I got that angry because I was actually anxious. Oh yeah, I told that person at work about that private thing that I wish I hadn't told him, because honestly, I think he's kind of a blabbermouth. And he's going to tell other people what I told him. And it's making me feel stressed out. I'm feeling anxious about him telling other people. And once you realize that, now that you've turned the lights on, now you know, okay, I can do something about that. My life doesn't just become a big ball of anger, and I don't know why. Now I know why. I've gotten more to the root. God's helped me, and now I can text that person at 12 p.m. Hey, don't say anything about what I told you. Not really. You can text, you can call, you can talk to them the next day, say, please, you know, don't share what I told you yesterday, you know. But maybe better yet, you don't share things like that with that person anymore, right? So once you're internally aware of your anxieties, now you're in a position where you can do something about it. But there's more. God's wisdom is that we also bring our anxieties into the light externally. Did you notice it? He says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. You see the move from the internal man's heart to the external, a good word making him glad? God's given us community. And that community is a place where our anxiety is meant to be aired out and brought into the light. In trusted relationships with people who are maturing in Christ, and those same people are to be there to speak a good word to you. Now, what is a good word? A good word in the context of Proverbs. A good word means pointing you to the big L light, pointing you to the good news of Jesus Christ, pointing you to the wisdom of Scripture, pointing you to how they have overcome their anxieties as they have followed Jesus. We need to be people who are getting these things out into the light with trusted friends in community. But that takes diligence. Just as much as it takes diligence to sit down at the end of a day and examine my anxieties and worries, it takes diligence to build relationships and communities. Not just to treat church as something we clock in, go through the motions, and then clock out. Treating church as if it's fairy dust and leaving church saying, do I feel less anxious? Not really. It must not be working. Christianity's false. That's not how it works. We come into a community that God provides us, and that community is here as part of God's provision for you, for your anxieties. But it takes hard work to also not just build relationships and community, but to be the kind of person who's in those relationships thinking, who is somebody I could trust enough to share my heart's anxieties with? Somebody who is mature enough in Christ that can point me in the right direction. Because we all know it's true. Sometimes you share things that are bothering you with somebody and you leave the conversation feeling worse than you went into it, right? So be wise. It takes diligence to examine. Be friends with everybody. But those trusted relationships take work. And oh, by the way, we all need to be working hard at overcoming our own anxieties, learning and growing and maturing in Christ so that we can be those kinds of people for others. I mean, that's the way of Christ, is it not? Christ comes, he gives his own life for us, self-sacrificially, being the strong one on behalf of the weak so that we might be relieved. So that we might, in our weakness, even become ultimately strong in him, maturing in him, so that we also can be like him in serving others, in being a listening ear that can give a good word and cheer up. This takes diligence. And you know the greatest anxiety, the one that Hebrews mentions, the anxiety about death. Death is the great anxiety producer. Just living in the world as a vulnerable creature, we know how death can take over our lives, or at least the fear of death. But God has done something about that anxiety as well. No amount of pills, no amount of dieting, no amount of exercise. I knew a man who ran, I think, over 20 marathons. And then his knees gave out. There's no amount of exercise or human activity that will ultimately address your anxiety about death. The only one is the light. And it's in coming to Him. Jesus Christ Himself, the light of the world, that our anxieties about death can be annulled. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and said, "This is my body, given for you, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." The same night, He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." When we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He returns. But we also proclaim to the world the way to overcome our deepest anxieties: Christ, His death, His resurrection, His love, all-encompassing, addressing your every need and your deepest need. Today, as we come and we drink and we eat, bring your cares to Him and see how He is sufficient to care for you.